All right. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? I said, how are we doing today? Good? All right. Good to hear. Okay. Announcement time. Again, if you're new or you're wondering where I always get my announcements from, they're just on the handout. And starting at the top, we've got the Joint Harvest Children's Festival, which is Saturday, October 28th. Who would have more information on that? I should have asked this before.
Weenie roast things, marshmallow burning,
s'mores
kind of things like that, and some games and stuff like that. So it should be a fun time. So mark that down on your calendar.
Do you have a time?
I don't really right now. It'll probably be in the evening.
More information will be updated as it's received. Birthdays coming up. We've got Andrew Harris on the 12th and Kaylee Beachy on the 14th. For the longest time, I thought the numbers were the age that they were turning. And then, yeah. But I know better now. Okay, and then anniversary. Happy anniversary to Rod and Vondell Heltz. And that's on the 10th, or they're just both turning 10. I don't know. And then Men's Brotherhood and Sisters Brotherhood, they meet on the first day, or what did I say?
Sisterhood.
Oh, yeah, okay. And those both meet on the first Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. And if you're interested in the Men's Brotherhood, you can get in contact with Dennis. And for the Sisterhood, get in contact with Lori. And then the Calvary Choir just picked back up last week, and anybody is welcome to join that, even if you sound pretty bad. They want you there. And that is at 5 p.m. every Sunday. And, okay, and today we've got Brent Statchler, is that right? Brent Statchler from the Gideons, and he's going to be giving the message here this morning, and then after service, he'll be in the back, so any donations or gifts that you'd like to give will be available then, and I think there's a card in the bulletin as well to put any donations towards. Okay, let's go ahead and say a prayer and get started. Oh, yeah, sorry. Goodness, man. Somebody might need to fire me.
Can you?
I can hold it. Oh, you never mind.
I've got a good helper here. So we are starting a new game, and I'd like to invite all of you to participate with the game with our teens. We're playing Poke That Turkey, and there's a turkey out on the wall out there, and some of you may have noticed this poster when you came in. And so the whole point is to help SCAN, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with SCAN. It's a program. It stands for Stop Child Abuse and Neglect, and it's a program here in Fort Wayne to help families in crisis situations to keep from neglecting or abusing their children, and it's from anywhere from babies all the way through 18-year-olds, and so there's a lot of times when that happens, the people come in and they... it's an emergency situation, and so the kids have to actually carry all their stuff in a plastic bag or something, anything that they have with them, and that's all they have. They don't have their toothbrush. They don't have a pair of socks, anything. They don't have a little toy to play with or anything. So what we suggest is that a family poke a hole in a turkey, and only poke if you're willing to donate, because we don't want a bunch of... Because inside the holes of the turkey are little cards that give you what to donate, and you can donate each of those cards. You can donate anywhere from 2 to 32. Like if it's bottles of water, you can donate 2 bottles of water, or 10 bottles of water, or 32 bottles of water. So you get the donation card out of it, so you know what to donate, and then you bring your donations. And there's going to be a box out there for you to put your donations into. And then we're going to bag them all up and take them to SCAN. By November 12th is the last date that you can put them in the box. And some cups have little prizes in them. So just little heads up. But what we don't want is for some child who's, I don't know, 2 years old to come in and start poking holes everywhere. So if you can kind of help us, Grayson will be out there to help supervise. So thank you for anything ahead of time that you're willing to help us with.
Okay, let's go ahead and say a prayer, and then we'll start singing. Dear God, as always, we come to you this morning. We thank you for just a safe place to worship and gather. We pray that you would prepare our hearts for worship, from singing to listening to the message here, and that this just wouldn't be our time slot that we come and punch our card, and that we'd rather see that this is more than that, God. And we pray that we would take more from this, and that we would be built up in our spirit, and that we would be moved to just want to go out the rest of the week and live as though we're in here as well. And so we pray that your spirit would aid us and equip us with all that we need to do so. And again, we thank you for the good, perfect, holy, loving, just God that you are, God, and for all that you do for us. And we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know not why God told me.
Our Father and Lord, we come to you and we thank you, Father, for a place where we can worship in spirit and in truth, in comfort and without fear of the state, at least for now. And we thank you, Father, for the rain that has fallen, that it may nourish the ground nourish us. And we also thank you for the various ministries inside and outside the church that spread your gospel. And help us to be a member of that gospel-spreading people in all places at all times. In Christ's name, amen.
You're invited to stand again. may be seated.
Our Gideon speaker this morning to tell us about the international and great work the Gideons do. So, Brent, would you just jump up there and tell us about this? Thank you.
Good morning, and it's a pleasure to be with all of you. I want to just begin by sharing just really what some of the power of well, Christ through the Gideons of being able to do. Let me begin with a testimony of a 30-year-old man, Weston, who was in a motel, ready to end his life. He was full of misery and very desperate. That night prior, he had placed the ammunition in a drawer. That morning, he woke up, still being very desperate, very hopeless, decided to end his life. He opened the drawer, and rather than pull out the ammunition, he saw the Bible that was placed by the Gideons. At that moment, he recalled his grandfather's favorite verse and opened the Bible. His favorite verse was John 3:16. And he read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." I'm grateful to say that Weston chose to call for help rather than take his life, all because of a Bible that was placed by the Gideons. Now, for many of you, when you hear Gideons, you likely think about Bibles that you've seen in hotels. But Gideons International is so much more. Since 1899, and I am not that old, our objective has been to win others to Christ by helping Christian business and professional men strengthen their testimony and increase their influence for Christ. Out of that outgrowth, we and our wives place Bibles in designated traffic lanes of life, such as hotels, hospitals, nursing homes, and we have the privilege to distribute testaments in schools, colleges, jails, prisons, at shelters, such as the rescue mission, to police, fire, and medical personnel, and military. Bibles such as this. And just as a praise, about 2-3 weeks ago, we had the privilege to be at Purdue Fort Wayne on Tuesday and Wednesday. In those 2 days' times, we had the privilege to distribute 1,409 testaments. Just last week, the Gideons were invited to be on the campus of Ball State University. Over 3,000 testaments were distributed at Ball State University. During that same time at Purdue Fort Wayne, unbeknownst to us, on that Wednesday, the student Christian ministries that are on campus had a tent revival while the Gideons were there. 7 students gave their life to Christ that day. So it's hoping to share the love of Christ and the plan of salvation. Herbert was a rabbi of all rabbis. He had 3 PhDs, faculty at Harvard, dean of the largest rabbinical school. As a child, he had memorized the Torah, had studied the New Testament, yet he was not someone who knew Christ. But God had other plans for him. Isn't that always the case? God has other plans. Herbert was on a fundraising trip for his school. And upon arrival at his destination, his luggage was lost. The airline assured him that they would find it and they would bring it to his hotel. So he proceeded to check in. After checking into his room, he was bored and frustrated. He began opening up the drawers, looking for something to read. And he knew one thing would be there, a Gideon Bible. He found the Bible, and he chose to read the book of John. Why the book of John? Only Herbert would know. But when he reached chapter 3, in which Jesus encounters Rabbi Nicodemus, remember, Herbert was a rabbi. And this is what he read. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Herbert said at that moment, his eyes began to tear up, and his body began to tremble. He believes that day that he encountered the Spirit of the living God. He got down on his knees, and he invited Jesus into his life. At that moment, Rabbi Herbert became Reverend Herbert, and he opened a Christian rescue mission in California. So it's because of churches such as yours that support Giddings International. And without your generosity, there would not have been a Bible placed in that hotel. Giddings International encourages our men and women to share the gospel at least once per week. Once per week, using testaments. That's why I carry mine at all times. Because I never know when I might encounter someone. Whether that's at Kroger's, whether that's, you know, anywhere. So such as places like, of all places, Red Robin, where I met Brianna, a server who had heard of Jesus but had not experienced him until feeling his love through hearing the plan of salvation. Today we are organized in 200 countries and territories and publish scriptures in more than 100 languages. Last year, throughout the world, we distributed over 75 million testaments of God's word. And it's easy for us to obtain Bibles. I know at times I can take it for granted. We have the privilege of God's word really at any point. Most of us have smartphones and we can download the app, so we can easily take that for granted. His word is precious to those around the world as well. But some do not have that access. So here's how you can help. First of all, begin with prayer. Pray for the ministry of Giddings International. Pray that God would provide open doors for us to teach more people. It was a privilege to be at Purdue Fort Wayne, to be at Ball State and various universities that may otherwise not welcome God's word. Pray for increased funds to purchase scriptures. Pray for an increased influence for Christ. And then next, if God leads you for an investment of $1.56, you can provide for the purchase and distribution of scriptures around the world. And then finally, speaking to you men, if you're a business professional man who would like to be part of Giddings International. I've only been a Gideon since January, and it was because of another Gideon brother that continued to be persistent and then let God do the stirring. I finally said yes, and it's been a blessing ever since. But it's an opportunity just for me to strengthen my Christian witness. And if anyone is interested, you can may see me after service. So, Pastor Harris, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to share about Giddings International and its worldwide ministry. And for those of you, I would like to thank you for your attention. It's been a privilege to participate in your worship. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalms this morning, 136. Psalms 136. And don't close it because we're going to kind of look at it as we go along. Psalms 136 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him that stretches out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule the day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule the night, for his mercy endures forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him that divideth the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him which led the people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Shalom, king of Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. Or Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And give their land for an inheritance, for his mercy endures forever. Even an inheritance unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembers us in our low estate, for his mercy endures forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever." Heavenly Father, we do ask you to bless our reading of this word, your word. Help it to find place in our hearts that we might recognize who you are, that we might fall upon your mercy, and we might claim the gifts you have for us as well. Be with us now this morning as we endeavor to parse this scripture a little bit this morning. Speak to our hearts. If there's decisions that need to be made openly and publicly, even here this morning, we pray that will be done so to honor Jesus. For it's in his precious name I pray. Amen. Psalms 136 has how many verses? 26. How many times does Psalms 136 say, "And his mercy endures forever"? 26 times. Somebody said if the Bible says something once, it's important. If it says it twice, it's very important. What about 26 times? Well, the Lord is trying to show us something and tell us something. There is it. There are many wonderful attributes of God. God is eternal, the scriptures tell us. That means he has no beginning, no end. He's self-existent. Psalms 90 tells us, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." God is immutable. God is incomparable. We can't compare him to anything. God is inscrutable. God knows everything from the beginning to the end. God is just. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God is omniscient. He knows everything. God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. God is righteous. God is sovereign. God is a spirit. God is truth. God is holy. God is love. And we could stop and look at every one of those, but I'm not going to. I'm going to move along this morning. God is holy and just. He judges sin without compromise. He rules fairly, and no one can find fault with his judgments. But listen, hear me this morning. God delights in mercy, and his mercy, what? Endures forever. Isn't that a promise? He's tender. He's loving. He's kind. He's kind and tender to all who call upon his name. Doesn't it make any difference who you are and where you're from or what size you are, tall, skinny, whatever. It doesn't matter. If you call upon the name of the Lord, he shows mercy unto you. The great apostle Paul says over in Romans chapter 9, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. then let it not be him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's wonderful, isn't it? An attribute that's overarching in every principle. And we talked about that a little bit last week, or last 2 weeks, actually, in which we talked about the mercy seat and the seat of God as being that place that God reveals his mercy to us in Jesus Christ. It was here in the Old Testament, people of God, who met God Almighty. God met and spoke to Moses from the mercy seat. The blood of the sacrifice was placed upon the mercy seat. The high priest would go in once a year, every year, Passover time, put that blood upon the seat. And the writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, what? Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You know, the earthly high priest may have been compassionate, and he may have not been. Maybe he was having a good day, and maybe he was having a bad day. But the Lord Jesus is always compassionate. You know, I was looking for an example as to somehow point out the mercy and grace of God. And I thought about David. And I thought about Jonathan. And, of course, Jonathan was King Saul's son. And Jonathan, though, was David's closest friends. They were like brothers. And Jonathan had a son. Does anybody know that name? Is it up there by any chance? Mephibosheth. Let's call him Jim. No. But he was a cripple. He had been born handicapped. It didn't happen that way. It happened because when his nurse heard that Saul had been killed by David, she took the child and began to run because she thought, what was going to happen was a normal thing. A new king, he kills everybody from the old dynasty. And so she was afraid that he would be killed because Saul had died. But David, who is the new king, had made a covenant with Jonathan, his best friend, that he would remember his seed when he became king. What did that mean? Would mean that he would show mercy to Jonathan and his seed. He would not kill everybody. That was the normal thing. Why did he want to do that? Because you would always have this guy lurking in the background who was saying, I used to be the king's son. And more than likely, somewhere along the line, they would rise up and there would be a revolt. And there would be a massacre of lives all over the place. So the idea was, let's just kill all those guys. Now we just have one house, one king. We don't have to worry about that. And so Jonathan reminds David of the promise that he made. When David became king, someone asked, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might remember and make good my promise to Jonathan? Mephibosheth was the guy. He was the guy that was left. And his name means from the mouth of shame. That's like naming a boy named Sue, isn't it? It had nothing to do with his personality, had nothing to do with the town he was from, any of those kind of things whatsoever. The name had nothing to do with any of those physical things. It meant, though, something even greater, even more tragic maybe, in that he lived without the Word of God. There are people who live without the Word of God, Mephibosheth. They don't know that, but that's their name. God says, listen, don't believe that. You don't have to be living without God. Don't believe that lie. The devil likes to tell us, you know, we'll never amount to anything. You're never going to do anything. You're just too stupid. You're just too weak. You're just too fat. You're from a poor family. Can't accomplish anything. You're never going to amount to anything. I think that that's one of the greatest obstacles in any society, but it's surely in our society, that is so fixated on valuables, things that we own, things we possess. I don't know if, you know, the senator who's been caught in a lie, he just had a few little items. His wife had a brand new Mercedes that somebody just dropped off by the house and just left it there, hoping somebody might need it. When he dug through his sock drawer, I do that all the time. I keep telling my wife, who puts these gold bars in my socks? How does that happen? You know, well, you've heard about that poor guy. But listen, we have that struggle all the time. And we can become trapped in our materialism. We can become trapped in that ideological idea that you, if you haven't got a new Mercedes, you're nothing. If you don't have gold bars in your socks, you're nothing. God doesn't work that way. You're not trapped. You're not trapped at all. But we feel like it sometimes. And our society reinforces that a lot of times. And so sometimes, have you ever met these folks? I've met them. And it's, and the one thing that is so desperate about that situation is you meet them, you know that they need to come to the Lord and all those kind of things, but you don't really want to be around them too much because they're so down that they just drag you down too. Their philosophy of life is, you know, I just want to eat worms and die. So come die with me, you know, kind of a thing. Well, listen, got to stop doing that. Got to stop calling those things which are not as though they were. God and God alone can do that. There's a contemporary song that says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, we've sang this song, I am rich. Let the blind say what? I can see. It's what the Lord has done for me. Think about that just a little bit this morning. What has the Lord done for you? Oh my goodness, the list would be endless. It would go on and on and on and on and on. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One, the song says. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Listen, God does not ignore the weak and the hopeless. God's ear is always attuned because he is a God of mercy. Let his mercy endure forever. Now hear me this morning. This is what I'm trying to say, trying to remind you of, is that God always responds to our cry of mercy. When we come to the place of the end of our rope, many times that's the place of the beginning of a whole new walk with the Lord and a whole new avenue to walk in. Isn't that marvelous? 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto God, our God, for his mercy endures forever. 136. 26 verses, 26 times, the Lord says, and his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks, verse 26 says, unto God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. So when you're feeling a little down, and maybe there's been some things that happened in your life that you cannot control and that is hard for you to understand and all those kind of things, then what we just need to do is settle down just for a second, you know, just settle down and realize his mercy endures forever. You know, Elsie and I, we kind of like to watch our college football game, and I watched Ohio State play the other day just because I wanted to see Elsie this morning and I wanted to say, you know, those guys didn't do too badly. They monkeyed around for a long time. They were trying to give the game away as best they possibly could. But somebody must have thought, wait a second, we could win this game. We need to think. Everything is not in the sewer. We can win this game of life because God's mercy endures forever. Amen. Lord, thank you to the day you've given us the opportunity to come to your house. We want to lift up the Lord Jesus now. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's struggling, maybe there's something happening in their life physically. Maybe there's something happening in their life emotionally. Maybe, Lord, there's a problem with finances. And they're just struggling. Help them to stop. Help them to stop. Be patient for a moment to think on these things. God's mercy endures to me forever. And give thanks. Give thanks. And Father, we just want to pray that all of our lives would reflect your glory in a world that's desperate to have some hope, in a world desperate to see faith in action. Help us to be those people who reflect the mercy of God and tell the story of Jesus. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. I had a song that I wanted us to play.
But we're not going to be able to do that. But we'll get it fixed for you next week. Maybe you could go home and find it on your computer. It's the Booth Brothers, right? Is that right, Rhonda? The Booth Brothers. And the song is named Go Ask the Blind Man. So, has anybody heard that song?
Yes.
A couple of you, okay. If you haven't, go do it. I mean, I'm not a, what is that stuff called? Gospel music person or something like that? You know, it's kind of a country gospel thing where everybody's, I'm not all that. I like to hear what they're saying, and you can hear what these people are saying. And it's wonderful. His mercy endures forever. It's extended to you, Taylor, every day, every moment of your life. It's extended to you, Lou, every day, every moment of your life. It's extended to you, Britt, every day, every moment in your life. Sophia, the Lord loves you. His mercy is offered to you every day of your life. Sometimes we don't feel like that, but it is. Take God at his word. Take those promises and receive them. Let's stand and sing. We have a song of invitation. You have something to make open public this morning. You come. I'm going to ask Brent to go back to the back door. He's going to open his Bible. If you have a donation you'd like to give to him at that particular time, just put it on the Bible. If you've already put it in the offering and it's in a Gideon envelope, it's going to go to them 100% of the time. That's going to happen, okay? All right. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Sweet relief, kneeling there in need.
close us in prayer, brother.